Welcome to the Hero Hub podcast, where we explore the journeys of the industry innovators, trailblazers, and game changers who are shaping the future of vehicles and equipment. Whether you're here for cutting-edge tech, business strategies, or simple love of the ride, this is where you'll find the inspiration to fuel your journey.
I'm Dan Atterbury. I own Heartland Marine and Motorsports. We're located in central Alberta, about 30 minutes east of Red Deer. We're kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but it kind of works to our advantage because we're surrounded by farmers and a couple small lakes.
Is there a lot of riding in that area?
There's not a lot of riding per se, but every single farmer uses a side-by-side or a quad for ranching. And most of the time, they'll run 3 or 4 units on their farms. When they're not on the farm, they want to be on the lake. And we have a lake about 5 minutes from us. So we're also a seller for Prince Craft Boats, and that does very well for us.
How did you get into the business?
Really, it was kind of, I don't want to say luck or not, but I kind of just fell into the spot. I mean, I've always been in motorsports or liked motorsports. I'm an avid backcountry snowmobiler. So I kind of just started rolling with the idea of working on stuff and grew into, it's definitely what I'm very interested in. And I think if I'm passionate or interested in it, I can make our customers passionate in it. And I do love taking customers out snowmobiling and spending time with them on weekends and stuff. So it's nice to ride the same product with your customers.
What's your why for what you do every day? What keeps you going?
I think the biggest thing is, well, one, my family, two, would be I like to see people enjoying their time off, which kind of backfires sometimes being the owner because you're the one not enjoying the long weekends. But if you can help somebody out on a long weekend to keep their weekend going good, then that's something I really like to do. I have a wife, Angela, and 2 kids right now. One is 8 months and the other one is 3.5. And they're, well, all 3 of them are nonstop. So they're usually never at home and they're usually traveling somewhere. And yeah, if I can sneak away for a week, we're usually somewhere down in the States or I don't know, somewhere across the country. We don't like to stay around very much.
How do you balance work and family life? How do you make that work?
I don't. it's pretty difficult sometimes, but the biggest thing is when you do leave the shop is it's the hardest thing and the easiest thing to distance yourself from cell phones and taking calls and checking your emails. But usually if you don't do that, you're less stressed while you're on holidays. So no, it's hard, but it's definitely doable. You just got to find that right balance. And I mean, with Angela, she's great. She knows that business kind of comes first. And she's really eager to help me with that. Just because the lights are off doesn't mean nobody's here.
Tell me about what makes your dealership different from other dealerships.
I'd like to say we're an easygoing group. Like most of us here are friends that have grown up together because we are a small town. The closest town to us is Stettler and there's 6,000 people. So it's a very small town. You walk down Main Street, you know everybody. Someone walks in the front door, you probably know their cousin, their sister, their brother, and it just kind of makes it more of a comfortable feeling when you can come in and sit down and talk for a while and you're not even talking about motorsports, you're just talking about life and stuff like that. So I think it's fun to be able to just talk to everybody in the community inside your own business. And I think it's great that we can supply a great service to those people that we have known for so long. We do have quite a few customers actually come out of the bigger cities to us just for that small town feeling here. So
it's time for hot takes. One controversial power sport question, one raw answer. No time to think, just real talk.
Will subscription ownership models ever work in power sports?
I don't know. I could see it maybe taking off in the areas where guys liked that portion of it, or riders, I guess, use that portion of it. In our area, most of the time a farmer doesn't want a subscription every year and they're not paying for a GPS because if they're lost in their own field, they're probably not in a very good spot. So the subscription-based stuff, I like the idea of it for the technology and stuff that they're putting into these products, but I don't know. Eventually, it's going to be there. We're going to have to use it one way or another, but I don't know if it's going to take off very well in the rural communities very quick.
It's time for good review, bad review. We've researched your dealership and pulled a 1-star review and a 5-star review. How would you handle these situations? Let's find out.
So here's our one-star review from AJ. Bought a used motor from these guys, and there is no way I would recommend anyone else to shop here. Long story short, I was promised the motor had been gone through, and it hadn't, and I'm still fighting with it. Steer clear. What do you do when you get a review like this?
So actually, yeah, that review we looked into quite extensively because obviously we don't like a one-star review. We'll definitely dig into anything, even if it's a five-star review, I still follow up with the customer. But like that specific one we dug into, and technically that customer did not even buy anything from us. So it is very hard to justify looking at some, like you can go on many different dealerships and you always see one-star reviews because sometimes not everybody has a good day, or hey, maybe the salesperson inside that dealership was having a really bad day or something. But even other one-star reviews or two-star reviews, I specifically, as an owner, will dig into those reviews, contact them, and try to figure out a solution one way or the other. I really like to actually see the feedback though, because it can kind of tell you what you're doing wrong. Because most of the time you'll get caught up in it, and you know what? You get 10 out of 10 out of 11 guys saying that you're great, and the one person that was upset or whatever will not say anything. So this is actually a really good thing to feed off of and learn and teach the team members stuff as well.
Let's go over your good review real quick, and I want to hear how you train to make this happen. This is from Marcella. We just purchased a new 2025 Polaris Ranger from Heartland Marine and Motorsports. We are so happy we made the decision to shop here. Large inventory to choose from. Alicia from sales was beyond amazing. Service department had our new ride ready with all the accessories installed in a couple of hours. This dealership and staff go above and beyond for their customers. We give the whole team a 5-star plus.
Yeah, so that's really like I said, great feedback. We know that our sales team is doing an outstanding job there. Our service department, in that case, I guess we're lucky enough that we have a large enough inventory for accessories and stuff that we can outfit a unit in a couple of hours and have a customer out the door the same day with all the accessories. But yeah, like just having in the service department, it's very hard to have that free time to facilitate someone that walked in the door and decided to put on 10 different accessories. My biggest thing is having everybody trained, and I even actually have some of our salespeople training or trained in installing accessories. And that just kind of gives them a better feel of what's underneath the dash on a machine, where everything is, how that accessory works, how that accessory installs. And then when a customer asks you a question of, well, where's the fuse for that light bar or anything like that, it's very easy for them because they've installed it. They know where all this stuff is. And it also relieves a little bit of pressure off the service department. If they're very backed up, then our sales team can kind of go in and take care of themselves. But yeah, our service department, they're great guys back there. And we run 2 to 3 high school students, and they are our main guys that we get to install accessories. So we kind of teach them from when they first start here to when they become a journeyman on how we like to see the customer's perspective at the end.
What's something that people don't see behind the showroom floor?
I would say probably the amount of hours that our manager or myself that we actually do put in. The doors are open at 9 and they close at 5:30, but we're like I'm usually here. Some of our managers are usually here till 6:30. And we start here usually around 8:30 in the morning. So there is a large amount of hours, and just the organization of everything running through the back. Like if someone in that case wants to put accessories on and you have 5 jobs lined up for that day, one of those jobs is getting pushed off. So, I mean, you got to have it pretty well organized to not have that customer that scheduled that appointment for that day to be waiting a couple out extra hours just to facilitate a sale. There is a ton of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't notice when they walk into a showroom and just see the nice machines and accessories sitting on the
You
walls.
could go back and tell your past self one piece of advice. If this could be personal or professional, what would you tell yourself?
I'd say you want to try something, go and try it. Don't worry about failing because you're going to probably fail 3 to 4 times before you actually get it right the first time. And unless you have somebody telling you what they did prior that they failed and made the mistakes already, it's very hard not to fail. And it's really easy to get caught up in that where you don't want to fail, so you don't do it. And yeah, for the longest time, I didn't want to just jump in and spend a ton of money and maybe not make any money. At one point, you just jump in, spend the money, and well, if you don't make this work, it's kind of hooped. So we're just going to keep failing and making it work.
Let's talk about changes in the industry.
So at this shop, we've been in this building since 2014. So
Okay, it's been a little bit,
it's
11
been a little
years.
bit, but we also run other dealerships, and we've been running those since 2011. I think the biggest change is the perspective of what a customer wants to see. So in Polaris's world or Can-Am's world, they have these really nice fully cab units. The units are very expensive now, and a customer wants to see that money go a long ways. Now, Polaris and Can-Am have done a very good job of making those machines very robust in what they are, but they are not a vehicle, and a lot of times customers want to see vehicle quality out of these things. So there's a fine line to kind of sit on with that. But as far as like the industry goes, there is a lot of new brands coming into the markets. They either stay or they don't stay. That's kind of motorsports, especially boats. They're very volatile, I guess you could say, especially here in Alberta. As everybody knows, oil in Alberta, it can go up and there'll be a lot of money being spent. And then in 2 months, it could be down and everybody's kind of hanging on and counting their pennies. So.
Yeah, that makes for an interesting customer base, an interesting, I guess, selling and buying experience, huh?
Yeah, because your farmers are always going to be around, and there's nothing wrong with it. Farmers are frugal and they like to make sure that their money's being spent properly. We'll get the couple oil field guys that, you know what, they just got a bonus from the oil field and they're going to spend it on a side by side. So they don't care what it's going to cost. They want what they want, right? So
Can you share a memorable customer story that's really stuck with you?
actually, one that's kind of really stuck with me, I guess. I'm also a volunteer firefighter for Stettler. And I happened to sell a side-by-side to a customer and a friend that I've known for a long time. And I just met his parents when they bought that side-by-side. And probably about 2, 3 days later, I had a call come in for a 60-year-old male that got stung by a wasp or attacked by a wasp's nest, and he's very allergic. So he was swelling up, couldn't breathe. So I started going to the call in my personal vehicle, hold it's their family there. So it was kind of good to have that personal connection, and one being friends and two being a local community. We just kind of packed him up, put him in our truck, and we sped her off to town and basically beat the ambulance into town. And I don't know if you would say saved his life, but pretty close to being at that point where he almost couldn't breathe anymore. So it was a pretty scary, but like we deal with it all the time on the fire department, but it's just a different kind of connection, I guess. They're very appreciative of that and actually came back and bought another side by side a week later.
I have one last question here, and I want you to talk about how the Hero Hub 20 group has made a difference for you professionally, personally. What are you learning?
So my biggest thing is I wasn't really sold on Dealer 20 groups. I kind of thought it was a large amount of money to spend because some of the 20 groups are $25,000 to $30,000 a year. So once I heard about Hero Hub, I was like, well, you know what? This is not a very large investment to try. And when we tried it, I got into it and I like seeing what the other dealerships are doing. I like hearing what they're having issues with or their challenges, because a lot of the time you sit in this chair and you think, well, what am I doing wrong? But it's across the industry. Everybody's having the same issue. It's great to talk to them, see what they're doing to try and mitigate that challenge or help with it. And I think my biggest takeaway from the 20 group is having those people to kind of bounce ideas off, where before it was like, well, hopefully the wall can tell me something different today.
Well, thank you so much to our guests for joining us today, and a huge thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I hope you found today's conversation insightful and inspiring. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with others in the power sports industry. We're excited to see you at the next one.